Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 8 years. 32 is the number of the episode, anyway. Boom, 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 boom. We have a show tonight. We have Dan Carroll coming in a little bit. Dan Carroll, of course, is director of media relations for DragonCon. DragonCon is Labor Day weekend in Atlanta, and we're all looking forward to that. I still have to sign up. And Jeff, are you going this year?
Yeah, I got approved already.
Dustin, are you going?
No, I may hit the parade. I think the kids want to do the parade, but I don't know about walking the floor.
Well, it's 12 days from the time of this episode's release. And the dates are August 31st through September 4th in downtown Atlanta. It is the only, as far as I know, pop culture and media convention that takes place in a city. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not out somewhere in a... Hall, 20 miles away.
Wandering around in a giant barn made of cement and metal and girders and steps that go everywhere and nowhere and carpeting. Yeah, they have carpeting at DragonCon, bunch of hotels. And so we've had Dan on every year that we've been doing this podcast. And in fact, Dan was just on my other radio show/podcast called The Popcast, which you can find on any of your pod catchers. Is that what you call them? Pod catchers. We'll talk a little bit more in depth this week with Dan, and just talk about what's going on down there. So stick around for that. What else? Hey, we have been doing Patreon shows, and we want to continue to do these Patreon only shows. We don't have one this week, but we want to do them. We just want to know what you want to, hear about. The shows that we want to talk about. I think next week when Steph returns, we'll talk about Justified, because that'll be on episode 7. And that means there's only one episode left, right? There's only 8, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm behind on episode 6, but we'll get all caught up and we'll probably drop that next week. But if you want to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and sign up at any level you want, and you'll have access to the Patreon only shows. And that could be $1, it could be $10,000. Who has that to spend, every month on a podcast? I don't think a lot of people do. Anyway,
I'm spending all my money on fudge rounds.
I hear that. Yeah, you are spending all your money on fudge rounds. Are you making fun of that guy? Are you one of those people that buys into the, oh, he's a right wing dog whistler?
No, I just don't like him making fun of fat people.
Oh, well, okay. Everybody has a problem.
Who is this now?
He's fat. He looks fat. I've been really. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. I call him Red Sheeran. I know that Ed Sheeran is a ginger, but this guy's, redneck, whatever. Anyway, we'll talk about him later. Oliver Anthony is his name, Dustin, if you want to Google him. I want to say thank you to our executive producers. The executive producers on Patreon, it's $25. And with that, you get a T-shirt and a printout of one of my drawings that I've done. There are several. We have yet to find a place to host any of these things, but we're working on it. Anyway, thank you to our Patreon producers, Tim Slayton, Brian, and Chelsea Smith, who we hope to see at DragonCon, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Kevin Jackson, Mike D., and Matt Carter. All very decent people. Thank you very, very much. So all you have to do, go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews to sign up. Speaking of the podcast, Dan Carroll was our guest, my guest last week on the podcast. This week on the podcast, I have four guests, and it's so jam-packed that not all of the interviews are going to make it onto the radio show, which is Saturday nights on WSB Radio, 7 p.m. if you live in the Atlanta metro area, or if you have the WSB Radio app and you want to hear it live, 95.5 FM, 750 AM. But it also becomes a podcast the following Monday, and I have Steve Gustafson, or Gustav, how do you say it, Jeff?
Gustafson.
Gustafson, that's right, there's an A in his name. The bass player and one of the founding members of 10,000 Maniacs, who I think I first saw with Jeff in 1989, and they're still touring. Mary Ramsey just left the band because she didn't feel like going on tour anymore. It's not a negative thing. He was very positive about her. A full hour interview I did with him, and the full thing unedited will be available on the podcast. also on the show, the guys from Please Don't Destroy. And those are the three young guys who are writers and performers for Saturday Night Live. And they do those great viral videos, right?
Yeah.
They're continuing the tradition that started with Albert Brooks way back in the 70s. And before these guys, I guess it was...
Lonely Island guys were doing
Lonely
Island.
Yeah. Yep. And the weird thing was I did all this prep for that interview. And, you know, two of them, their dads were writers and head writers for Saturday Night Live. But as soon as I got connected, I asked the publicist who was online with us, I said, can I talk about SNL? And she said, no, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, fuck. I did all this prep, you know, talking about their dad's work and everything. But it ended up being fun. I'm editing it right now as we're recording this. And they were cool guys. They are going to be in town on August 23rd at Buckhead Theater. If you like them and you want to see them live, they're very funny. And they had never heard of the show Fridays.
Wow.
Really?
But they're very young. And I said to them, I said, what do you guys like to watch on YouTube? And they're like, oh, Conan stuff that we didn't see because we were too young. and I said, what are your favorite shows? And they named two shows that I had never heard of. And I am officially really old, but both of the shows look good and they looked funny. So anyway, moving on from that. Hey, we're going to be at Atlanta Pizza in Euro on Sunday, October 22nd. We don't have a time yet, but put it on your calendar because we're going to do all sorts of fun stuff. We're going to have prizes. We're going to try to get guests to come out. Hopefully that can happen. And we're going to try to record it. But even if we don't, we'll have all wonderful desserts that you guys all bring. And we'll have, of course, the great food that Mike Hall will provide for us and the restaurant provide for us. So, Jeff, you were talking with Mark Schrenkel. I don't think we've addressed it on the show since you talked to him, but no season 3 for I Am Shona Ray?
Yeah. TLC's not picking them up.
Not picking them up, but they're trying to shop it around to other networks. They have that ability, right?
Yeah, and I think they're working on their own stuff. I think they're trying to get a podcast started, and they're doing their... Shauna has her own YouTube channel and stuff. And Mark's
picking up. Yeah, yeah, he's doing good.
Mark just started his own, too. Yeah,
yeah, we need to catch up with him because he's done a lot for us. And, you know, of course, the Redbox troll and Sly. And not to mention that he's a talented guy, you know, funny. And she's talented in her own right. But Mark's a really decent, cool guy.
He's your cousin.
And he's my cousin, so we got to have him on again and get an update.
Yeah, so, they're coming to Atlanta, so hopefully we can talk to them either before they get here or after they come.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to try to go to the Center for Puppetry Arts. I think that would be kind of neat. So let's talk about a couple of things before Dan gets on with us to talk about Dragon Con 2023. God. There's lots of weird shit going on. We're talking about Oliver Anthony, and I get it. He that pissed you off, but he wasn't talking about us. He was just talking about people on welfare. You're not on welfare.
No,
no. Do you like his voice? Do you like that song?
Hey,
did you?
He sounds good. I watched the song.
Dustin, did you Google him?
Now I know who you're talking about. Yeah, as soon as you said redhead, I was like, okay, now I know what you're talking about. For as interesting as he is. And as poignant as some of his lyrics can be, there are probably 50 people like him throughout the South who had these small little followings on YouTube. Why he broke all of a sudden, you know, that's the story I'd be interested in because what he's doing is nothing new.
Jeffrey Epstein stuff.
Yeah, there are things in the song where he said, I wish that the government cared more about minors than they do about minors on an island.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the song, it's called Richmond, North of Richmond. I saw the video about a week and a half ago, and I said, this is interesting. I wonder where this is going to go. And then I watched it grow, and then I watched over the weekend, the typical people came out, and you had Rolling Stone and a bunch of other outlets just trashing him, saying it was a right-wing QAnon conspiracy theory anthem. And then you had, on the right, you had the National Review and Reason magazine and other conservative outlets trashing him because he's assuming that America isn't a place of opportunity anymore. And you had like the Mitt Romney types going, well, you can always find a new job. Anyway, we don't talk politics and stuff too deeply on here. But it's just interesting to watch a person sing a song and have a good voice and have that Appalachian type of country music talent, right? He's talent. This song's great. His voice is nice. And his other songs are pretty interesting too. But to just trash him. And this happens with movies. It happens with, you know, Star Wars or anything where there's a gender or a race swap of a character. It always happens. And now it's happening to people on the right. So is it real? Is it organic? Or is it just that negative marketing that pushes somebody into the forefront? And I mean, he's going to have, you know, millions of sales on and streams on these streaming and download sites, right? And he's going to tour now and he's going to make money. It's just fascinating to me that that is the way marketing is done now.
And with this guy, it's going to be the same thing. He gets pushed into the spotlight and now everybody's got a microscope on him and people are picking sides. You know, it's the way
it was YouTube.
It was Twitter and
his YouTube page. And they found these videos from 2001 from ABC News and Fox News. They're talking about people dancing outside in New Jersey watching the World Trade Center come down. And they're like, oh, he's this and that and blah, 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 blah. So it's all dumb. Just dumb. Same thing with the Snow White marketing. Nobody knows what that movie's going to be about. And Disney's not doing themselves any favors letting the star go out and babble on like the young woman that she is. You know, and trashing the original story. Who knows? No one's going to know until the movie comes out. And it's just getting nothing but negative marketing all the way up till its release. So we just live in weird times. Drives me nuts. A lot of times I'll ignore all press about something if I'm interested in seeing it and then just go watch it. But it's really hard, especially working in media, to do that. You know, do you guys ever feel that way about stuff? Does it annoy you at all? Or are you able to tune it out better than I am?
I'm not one that listens to people's opinions on things that I like. You know, I'm very much want to make my own opinion. So it's hard. You know, YouTube now, it's like something comes out, you know, if you've got to turn it off, but you've got, you know, a home screen that has spoilers in the titles most of the time for anything. So, yeah, if I want to watch something, I try to watch it quick as soon as it comes out, as soon as I can. And then I dive into all the crap that's put out there.
I wish I had that luxury. And Jeff generally gives things a shot because you have a curiosity and an interest and, you know, you like the people that are in it or you like the theme. And I just get so bogged down sometimes with, I'm not going to watch this because too many people are talking about it. So at least kudos to Jeff because he's not, you know, swimming in negativity.
Very true.
I mean, he is.
I try not to.
When look at him right now, he's fucking seething.
I'm super mad because you had that Star Wars spoiler alert on your Dan Carroll interview and you didn't warn anybody.
What are you talking about?
You said Darth Vader was Luke's father. How dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry to all the young. I'm sorry to my son Gilbert in advance. Probably won't ever see Star Wars, but yeah, well, he might. Who knows? He'll certainly never see it the way we got to see it, you know, without the fake Boba or without the fake Jabba the Hutt at the end of it. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, you know, for, I guess it was 2017. That's really when it started. We had been doing the podcast for a long time. And then all this stuff started happening. You know, they were talking about Dan Harmon and talking about this and that. And I kind of got wrapped up in that stuff. And then I, you know, dialed way back on it. And now I like talking about these cultural phenomena that go on because it's out there. And I think that, you know, people get so wrapped up in it. Listen, when it comes to that Oliver Anthony guy, you either like it or you don't. And not because of his politics or your politics, but just listen to the song. You know, 30 years ago, everybody would have been loving that song because it's pro-labor and pro-work and stuff like that and blue-collar. And nowadays, everything is just swimming in garbage politics. And
well, I was going to say, that's how Jason Isbell got his start, was songs like that to a blue-collar group of people that really got behind him and the drive-by truckers for doing stuff like that. So But I think that time has passed. You know, you don't have that. It's not the same anymore.
No. Everything is based on algorithms and who's going to look here and who's going to fight here and who's going to get likes and clicks and retweets and or re-exes and shit like that. I mean, you look at TikTok, the weirdest things go viral. And most of the things on TikTok, and I'm not talking about influencers because TikTok has, you know, influencers, a lot of young people who do cool things that they come up with on their own and they have a big following. And I think that's pretty cool because they've created their own niche, right? Or niche or whatever the fuck. But then you have people who get hundreds of thousands of views and all they're doing is posting someone else's content. And that bothers me, you know, a little bit. I'll sit and watch old Saturday Night Live things while I'm scripting, and I'm looking at them. They're getting hundreds of thousands of views and they didn't create anything. And, you know, they're getting whatever monetary reward there is for that sort of thing. It's just crazy. Everything's algorithms and weirdness. Like this Tiffany Gomez, right? This, you know,
that motherfucker is not real.
Yes. That lady. And now there's new video coming out.
She did an apology video.
She did an apology video, but it looks fake.
Yeah. She's reading the whole time, you can tell.
Reading the whole time. And then you find out that she this whole time when you didn't hear anything about her, she's setting up social media, setting up a website, and now her website's going to be focused on anti-bullying and mental health. And still, she has never addressed what happened on that plane.
Right.
Here to do that. And now, because she didn't do that, and because all this stuff is set up, there's a subgenre of people saying that she's a crisis. I mean, it just always happens this way, that the weirdest people go viral and get famous. I just want to say, listen here, you crazy big-titted psycho. no, that's cyberbullying and sexist and all those things. It's just weird. It was funny. The video was funny, but there's always an aftermath. She's pretty interesting. We'll have to see what happens with that. But I'm not interested in her beyond that video, and I don't know why anyone else would be outside of that video. But I've seen videos on TikTok that are insane. Like this guy on TikTok is tracking down the geolocation based on the number. I don't know anything about this stuff. He's some sort of hacker. He's like, she's a Department of Defense employee. I'm like, get out of here. She's a marketing person. Who knows? Don't get ramped up in it. Just watch. I need to do what Jeff does and just watch more TV and just be accepting of
it. Are you getting into the Hawaii conspiracies?
I know about them. I don't get into them. I know about them. You know, that was tragic what happened over there.
Yeah.
Very tragic. And those homes were all wood. And it was a neighborhood of Hawaiians who refused to give up. I mean, it was the original capital of Hawaii before the U.S. took it over. And none of those people wanted to give in to developers and condo makers and stuff like that. And lucky for them now that they can get, you know, low interest loans from the government or just sell their land. But they had no warning, right? No warning.
Yeah, right.
Fire just consumed them and so many people are dead. I don't think that there was a giant space laser that started those fires. But that's one of the theories.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we don't know anything. We just know there was a fire and people are, you know, lost their lives. And
they're saying that the water was shut off and that there was no fire alarms and shit.
Yeah, I've heard the power company
didn't cut the power off.
Yeah. Right.
And so it kept spreading. But also the governor is, you know, he's already said that he's looking into, you know, maybe the state buying that land. And it was like, dude, really already? You're already bringing
that shit up? The state wanted that land. The state wanted that land because they want to do these complete, you know, these smart cities and complete streets and things like that. That's why there's conspiracies, though, because no one comes out and says what really happened. So everybody makes up their own mind. And because everybody has a platform where they can go say whatever they want, everything is muddied. Everything is muddy. And it's terrible. You know, I heard somebody say that, I heard this on the No Agenda podcast with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. They had a guy, one of their listeners, they called her, their people who provide them with information, they call it boots on the ground. And the guy said that in recent years, all the fire people have retired, you know, firemen, firewomen, whatever, firefighters, the older ones have retired. And that includes management. And now it's all a bunch of young people and cost cutters, and they didn't have enough water. Who knows? You're not going to find out unless you're reading it in you know, like a magazine or a newspaper. You're going to find out on TV, because then the other conspiracy, if you're watching it on TV, is that you just blame it on global warming or climate change, and that, you know, absolves everybody. Anyway, it's terrible, man. I wish, you know, people didn't have to suffer that kind of thing, you know.
Somebody's going to make a shit ton of money on that whole land, rebuilding everything, though.
Yeah, but it won't be the people that live there.
No.
It never is. It never is. You know, I wouldn't take a loan. I would just sell the land and get out.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing left. Your house is gone. That's terrible. Okay. I wish Steph were here tonight. She'll be back next week. But I wanted to talk to her about these disgusting Doritos that she had told me about. She said, these are delicious. And it was funny, a couple of weeks ago, I thought I bought them, and I got home and it was just regular Doritos, and I was fine with that. But so this week I bought those ketchup flavored Doritos and immediately wanted to puke. Have you guys tried those yet?
No, they sound disgusting.
They are fucking horrible. No. It was very cool. I bought this shaved prime rib. It was on sale, or shaved ribeye at Kroger, and I went home and made my own cheesesteak. I was like, oh, this is great, because I've been craving cheesesteaks. And usually when you go to a joint near you, they suck. So I made my own, and I was like, I'm going to eat these Doritos with it. It was like I had ruined my palate. So, Steph, I'm coming after you, because when I get the Redbox troll tonight, I'm going crazy with the voice. And I'm going to go get him here in a few minutes. So we'll be right back.
How's it going, man?
It's 2 weeks before Dragon Con, so it's hot and heavy just because it's the humidity in Georgia, but we're having a lot of fun. We're going to see you at Dragon Con this year.
Well, I was about to ask you, is there a troll membership discount? Because I don't have a lot of money, and I just wanted to come down, maybe say hi, see if there's a lady troll maybe at the party upstairs in the hotel.
Well, Troll, we're definitely going to need to get you a membership, but we do not provide discounts for trolls. We do provide discounts if you buy early for next year.
I don't have a wallet or a bank account or, you know, cash buried. Look, a lot of trolls have money stashed away. I sure don't have any of that stuff. But you know what? I do have a big heart.
Oh, that's awful sweet of you, but no.
Yeah. Well, that sucks, man.
You can always volunteer.
I could do that. I don't have legs. Well, I do. I have legs, but I have a giant hole where my butt would be, and a guy has to put his hand up there and manipulate me, like, with his hand.
You know, I'm actually disabled myself, and there's plenty of things you can do at Dragon Con with your disability of not having legs and having a giant hole with Tim's hand.
I'm disaspled. My foot keeps falling off too. So I'm going to have to mark how I can sit back on it with glue. All right. I just want to say hi.
Wait. Troll.
Yes.
Do I understand you have feet, but no legs? Oh, you're a lot like Cotton from King of the Hill.
That's right. A Chinaman took my shit in the Korean War. A Chinaman.
Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I just wanted Tim to be aware of that, because it's culturally insensitive to say things like that. And if there's one thing the Redbox troll is culturally sensitive. But I know that if you need a mascot for Dragon, don't leave him alone.
We do have a mascot for Dragon Con, but thank you so much.
I could be a dragon.
Do you know any dragons?
I'm dragging you all over the place.
Okay, fine. I'll just go to I'll go somewhere else now, and maybe I'll rub my nub. You never know.
All right, I'm going to put him away. He's starting to get fresh.
I'm going to put him over in the corner where he looks like a corpse.
Dan, good to see you. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth for your annual
Dustin?
Dragon Con episode.
Nice to see you again. At the beginning of this show, I was talking about our adventure last week on the podcast.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. People really responded to it well, too, and I love it when that happens.
Let's talk about programming. Is it final? Is it going to be final? The truth is, DragonCon programming is final the day it occurs. So we're updating it all the time. Even we're updating Sunday programming during the show, Monday programming. So what we've got is a pretty solid baseline of what you can expect. Probably the fan panels are going to be the most accurate. We're always flexible on the big panel rooms because changes occur. So now I'm going to pull this forward, but my head's going to get bigger.
Where can you find panels on the website? Is there a link for any of those yet?
Skip the website for that right now and go straight to the app. We downloaded it last week.
And the app can be gotten at any of the stores, wherever you know, Google Play, what is that called? And then, of course, the App Store if you have an iPhone.
Google Play and App Store. Download it now.
Is it going to be difficult for people to do panels? If the strike is still going on, that's a question.
Well, that is a question. That's a big question. What we're doing is, if you've been looking at our Facebook and I still say Twitter, but X feed,
yes,
you will see that we have we've been making jokes about this very subject.
Okay.
For those of you who are listening years in the future and found a copy of this MP3, there's a SAG strike going on right now. And what we're talking about is DragonCon, the greatest thing in the freaking world, that takes place every Labor Day weekend in Atlanta. And we bring in a lot of celebrity guests. We bring about 400 guests total. About a quarter of them are celebrity guests to the Walk of Fame. We are looking at lots of different creative ways to make sure that there's conversations going on between the guests and fans where the guests are not violating their requirements according to the strike. They have a requirement on them that they cannot promote current or past projects that they have been working on that were covered by a struck company. There's a lot of organizations out there that have cool people doing reality TV and none of the reality TV is covered by this, by the Screen Actors Guild strike.
So Ming Chen will be able to talk your ear off about anything you want to talk to him about.
Absolutely. And the same goes for Adam Savage is just one example of many.
Right.
But they'll still be able to sign autographs. If you bring anything with you that you want them to sign, they'll sign it. But most of the autographs that they're going to be signing are headshots. Now, some of the guests will have there will be photographs available to purchase separately. And we're still working all that out. But we're going to do everything we can to make sure that the fans who come to DragonCon for the guest experience get the maximum out of that guest experience while still protecting the guest. I would not expect to see unmoderated Q&A with the guests for the most part. And maybe the guests will be structured in their panels a little bit differently because in the days past, when DragonCon went virtual in 2020, one of my favorite things was catching up with an old Battlestar Galactica panel I had. Well, we're not going to be able to have Battlestar Galactica panels. We're just making sure that the folks in the panel rooms are able to talk without any question, any second thought that what they're doing is still supporting their brothers and sisters on the picket line.
Well, here are three people that will be able to talk about their show. I've interviewed these guys before, and I don't know that they've been to DragonCon before. And if you haven't met them and you watched the show, or if you haven't watched the show, I highly recommend it. You got Dalen Spratt, Juwan Mass, and Marcus Harvey from Ghost Brothers. Have they been there before? Because those guys are cool.
I don't remember seeing Ghost Brothers before. We've had other ghost shows, and when they show up, the lines are out the door.
and they'll be for these guys. The show that they've done, they've been on Destination America, TLC. They did a show with Jack Osborne a couple of years ago. I think it was called Fright Club. And it was just, it's a fun show. It's a lark if you're into that kind of thing. But they're really good, and they're a lot of fun. So, you know, those are three people that you can talk to. And I do recommend the show if you're into that paranormal type of stuff.
One of the things we've got coming up that's pretty cool is the paranormal track. They're going to host a really big debate about UFOs.
Nice.
People who think it's bunkum to the people who believe. Get ready. The folks are coming. And I know you and Tim, you and I have talked about that offline.
Yeah.
About all the news coming out. And there's a lot going on. We're going to see what these experts say at DragonCon.
Well, you know, the guy went in front of Congress a couple of weeks ago and said that they had biologics, which whatever that means, non-human biologics. So I'm sure there's plenty to talk about.
The last I heard was somebody found some shipwreck that was extraterrestrial. A Harvard professor, not just some guy.
Yeah.
I found a UFO in my backyard. You what comes to get me?
We are all over the place, and that's because I'm scatterbrained today. But listen, we're going to give all the information. DragonCon.org. That is where you go to find out almost everything you need to know. That is where you go to sign up for a membership or to purchase a membership. And you can take your family down and with your memberships and enjoy all 4 days, August 31st through September 4th. So that's 5 days, if you're able to do math better than me. But everything you need is there. Download the app and you can keep up on the panels and anything that you can't get on the website. The parade, the DragonCon parade. This parade is the best parade anywhere in the country. Once a year, it takes place in downtown Atlanta. There's so much to see, and it's so entertaining from start to finish. The parade kicks off when? 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock on September 2nd,
mm-hmm.
And that is Saturday morning. It's a blast, and the best part about it is, yeah, come on down. We want everybody to come on down. Take MARTA. Come early, because it does get crowded early, and some years we have had more people at the parade than we've had at DragonCon as attendees. That is absolutely true. And this year it's open to everybody. During a pandemic, you needed a badge even to just stand on the side of the road. But it's not a long parade. It basically, what you want to do is go from where Peachtree Street crosses over the downtown connector. It goes down to the Hard Rock Cafe, hangs a left, goes a block, hangs a left, and ends at the Marriott. So just over a mile. This year, it's going to be available on TV on CW69. The best part about it is that it's not just on in the morning. They've rebroadcast it in the evening. It's got a great deal of success, and it's very, very, very popular. They got moderators, but to be honest, the TV section, the TV part of the parade lasts 1 hour, just because that's the scheduling. So, but you can also follow it online at DragonCon TV. And you can find them on Facebook under DragonCon TV or DC TV. And it's just a great way to enjoy people who are costuming. You have to be a member of DragonCon. You have to have your membership in order to march in the parade. But we got everything from lawyers with briefcases to, this is a true thing we have, to high school bands like a regular parade. But we also have lots of hobbits, lots of folks in really technologically advanced costumes playing video game characters. And bringing up the end is the Star Wars. Always the 501st ends the DragonCon parade.
Who are the Grand Marshals this year? Have you decided yet?
I have not gotten that information. I'm not quite sure if it's been decided.
Okay.
Tell us about the DragonCon TV membership. That's a separate thing.
So if you're not able to come to DragonCon at all, or if you come to DragonCon and want to enjoy DragonCon panels that you don't get to see, I always compare it to being a seven-year-old when I would go up in New York, go to the Bronx Zoo. And every time I went, I got to see a third of the zoo. and at DragonCon, with 3,500 hours of programming, going 24 hours a day for 5 days, you're not seeing an eighth of it or a quarter of it, not a quarter, a quarter of a percent of it. It's really big. But DragonCon TV has put on a virtual DragonCon show since before the pandemic, actually. Pandemic was our third year doing it. Go to DragonCon.org and you can search for that membership. I believe it's $30 for a membership if you don't attend in person, and only $10 to add it onto your existing membership.
Are you guys also going to have the gaming rooms again set up?
Yeah, gaming is a important part of DragonCon, always has. You know, we started off as the first convention to mix gaming with literature and film and comic books. Nobody else in the country had been doing that. So we broke out of that comic book mode and we broke out of the gaming mode and merged everything together. So we're going to be in America's Mart building 3, I think, this year. I think we're going over to building 3 because there's some construction going on. Now that I say that, guys, check the DragonCon app for that. But we've got a giant room full of classic video games from the arcade, and there's no charge to play them. We've got online role-playing games, competitive. We've got board games. We've got card games. We've got everything going 24 hours a day in the gaming area. We got panels talking about games, too, because we love our panels.
Well, my question was going to be, usually in the Walk of Fame, if a bunch of people come in and they're all from the same thing, they're all together. Will that be happening this time? Because I don't imagine you would have any of that in the gallery, right?
Oh, in the Walk of Fame, I will tell you that normally the actors are sitting according to who their agent is.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think that's going to change.
Okay.
What's the best spot? You want right inside the door as you walk in? Is that the number one spot? Yeah.
Oh, my favorite is my favorite spot to just people watch is when you walk in, you got to turn left now, which is a thing I was not expecting.
And you're going clockwise now, huh?
That counter. Yeah, clockwise. You have to go clockwise. So that's turning left. You walk in, you turn left, and then you turn right to go around the circle.
Okay.
And at the second turn, there's kind of a corner, and it's a good space to get a good view of the entire area. Again, unless you're purchasing a photograph with the guest, there's no photography allowed in the Walk of Fame, but it's still a great place to get a view. And you never know. I mean, one day I had just been talking to one celebrity.
Did I drop out?
No, we lost Dan.
Oh.
To get passage. So you never know who you're going to see anywhere at DragonCon.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the featured guests from that are coming this year. You have a whole bunch of people. You have Cooper Andrews, who I believe is locally based. He's famous. He's on the show with the zombies that move around. And then you have Bruce Boxleitner, who's a very famous actor as well. I'm just saying these at random, and we could just...
Nathan Fillion?
Yeah, Nathan Fillion from the show about the lightning, called Lightning Bug.
Tom Cavanaugh from that White Light show.
Yes. Henry Ian Cusick, who was on a show that...
Misplaced.
Airplane. Hole. We're just trying to have fun, Dan. I want to keep in the tradition of just having a little bit of fun. I hope you don't mind.
Speaking of that, though,
perfectly fine with that. What I enjoy when you guys talk is not necessarily the same thing as I could say. I mean, there's plenty of awesome guests who have done awesome things in their career, and we're all the actors, the convention staff, and you guys, the attendees. We're all in the same boat. We need to make sure that we respect boundaries and enjoy as much of DragonCon as you can in this way. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to throw out, the guest list is so long. Little side note, I always learn my guests by naming the shows they're on. So I'm at a real loss this year. I mean, an absolute loss. Well, but I can tell everybody, if you go to the website, you will see a massive list of celebrities who are coming to DragonCon this year. But it's not just celebrities. I mean, one of the things I'm really excited about, and I can talk about all of this right now, what I'm about to say, is there's a local writer, Delilah Dawson, and she writes Star Wars books. Highly recommend. I just read her last book, and of course, it slipped out of my mind. But the book that she wrote that I really loved was Phasma. So she's writing Phasma, Captain Phasma from the Star Wars movies. I'll get it. The Star Wars movies. And she's coming back this year, and just a phenomenal writer, excellent talker. She's local, and we can talk about that. But so many of my favorite writers, some of them are also Star Wars writers, too. Timothy Zahn, who's phenomenal. And you know, Jeff, you're always looking for people to interview. If you haven't talked to Timothy Zahn, he created Thrawn.
Right.
Which is a great book series. There's an old one and a new one. I prefer the newer ones. They're some of my favorite books, but more importantly, it's about to become a property on something that broadcasts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a name here, Will Americk. He is the founder of the Southern Church of Vinyl, co-author of the book Souls of Norcross, founder of the Dark Side Syndicate, which is a paranormal investigation team in Atlanta. So that's a local person as well who does cool things.
That's awesome. And plus, you know, we've got a lot of comic book creators who are local. But, you know, I'm gonna throw this out for everybody. DragonCon is so much more than just the guests. So the guests are a vital part of what makes DragonCon fun. You know, we're talking about a 5-day-long party that's family-friendly. Everything's cool and copacetic. We've got those overnight parties too, where people get to cut loose, relax a little bit. Almost, you know, Tim, you've heard me say this since we first met. It's almost like two different Dragon Cons going on.
Mm-hmm. And every year I've said to myself, one of these days I'm going to go, and now I'm too old and I'm not going to be able to go to a party. But I've been saying that for over 20 years. I'm going to go to one of those parties. Too late.
Well, as I mentioned to our other co-host, Troll, earlier, as I mentioned the Troll, I do have mobility issues. I still get around, but last year I ended up, every time I said, that's it, I'm going to bed before 11, I ended up heading out to a party. Bumped into somebody, a mutual friend at DragonCon. This is what's great. Lucky Yates. I have not seen Lucky since before the pandemic.
Now, was he a guest or was he just there attending?
He was a guest. He was at the Heroes and Villains Ball.
Okay.
Just a fantastic, party over in the Westin. And the next night, I made it out to the Star Wars party in the Sheraton. And this was, again, the year I was going to stay in. But I did make it out the next night to the Harry Potter Yule Ball.
Right.
So the parties are going, Tim.
Awesome.
If you need to get into VIP, let me know. Well,
I want to talk about the charity for DragonCon this year, but let me real quick ask though, if I have something that is like a prop from like Sid and Marty Krofft property, could I bring that and have it signed? Will he sign it?
It's not a weapon.
Right. Yeah. It's a lunchbox.
Just a reminder, Sid, Marty Krofft is coming. Marty Krofft, oh my gosh, we didn't even mention that. Marty Krofft is the guy with his brother behind the genius that was H.R. Puff and Stuff and Sigmund and the Sea Monsters and so many greats. Captain Cool and the Kongs was, I think, their last production. But he is, as a producer, not affected by the strike. So he can talk about anything he wants to.
Yeah, I got solicited to interview a director the other day for a movie that's coming out. And I'm like, he's a director. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And again, I'm telling everybody right now listening, I am not a legal expert and I'm sure not a union law expert. I had an uncle who was a labor judge man, he was a union law expert. He knew his stuff backwards and forwards, so they let him be a judge, but not me.
Well, let's tell everybody again where they can go website-wise. It's dragoncon.org. And you can go there, pretty much find out every single thing you need. Also get the app, especially if you're going, you're going to need that app.
And tell us what the charity is this year.
Yeah, tell us the charity.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because this is a big one. It's Cure Childhood Cancer. And it's Cure Childhood Cancer, but they go by the word cure. They just, in capital letters. So they call themselves Cure. We call them Cure. And Cure is great, in my opinion, and in the opinion of DragonCon, and why we chose it, is they don't just raise money. They make sure the money gets in the hands of people who need it. And they do a lot of work with families, both for emotional and mental support, but also financial support during that time when maybe you're taking extra days off from work because you've got to deal with a child with cancer. I've had many friends who had childhood cancer, survived into adulthood, and I've known families that have lost children to cancer. It's just a horrible disease. So that doesn't mean Cure Childhood Cancer doesn't spend money on research and doesn't invest in research. They sure do. But we have been matching at DragonCon, the matching fund, year after year. Last year was the first year we broke $200,000 in our donations, including the matching fund. And this year we're bumping the matching fund up $50,000. So we're looking at $150,000 matching fund, and we're hoping to spend every dollar of that by raising $150,000 from the community. And you know, it's not the only thing we do charity wise at DragonCon. I wonder if you'll ask me about the blood bank.
The Robert Heinlein blood drive.
The Robert E. Heinlein Memorial blood drive. If you're going to throw in more words, I'll throw in a couple more.
What is it? Robert A. Heinlein Pay It Forward blood drive.
Blood drive run by Blood South is the largest blood drive of its type at any convention. That is not just a science fiction fantasy convention. That is any type of convention, Microsoft convention, anything else. We draw more units every year, and it increases at an exponential rate every year. And this year, the American Association of Blood Banks is honoring DragonCon with an award presented to Mr. Pat Henry, our president, in honor of just how much blood has been raised.
And that goes for lifesouth.org, right? People can go there too if they can't make it.
LifeSouth.
Yep. And that's every single day, 10 to 7, except for Monday, which is Labor Day, which is 9 to 3. So you have 5 opportunities if you're down there to donate blood, which is always needed.
And you get a free T-shirt.
Yes.
A free T-shirt and food. You get food. They give you, like, cookies and stuff.
Yeah, you need that after you donate blood.
Yeah. And for those people who are going to give blood from the Radio Labyrinth community, stop by the media relations room and see if I'm around and say hi.
And if you're really curious or on the fence, you can look at photo galleries going back years and years and years and see how much fun it is. And if you're doing cosplay, listen, so many people are doing it. There's so many interesting things to see. All genres that you could possibly imagine you will see down at DragonCon this year and every year. But the one thing I lament is that over the years, there have been less and less Dr. Mrs. the Monarch or Dr. Girlfriend. But, you know, that's just my one of my preferences. That was always one of my favorite costumes. But for you out there who don't have memberships yet and you want to go, DragonCon.org.
There are one-day passes available or multi-day passes available. You can get them online. And while you're on MARTA, be heading down to the Cortland, the Grand Cortland.
You have to take care of it online before you get there to pick up, right?
That's correct. You can't walk up and give them cash.
Right.
This is not a fry, take my money situation. and the other thing I'll throw out is, as I pointed out, the Cortland Grand on, used to be called the Sheraton. That's where registration is going to be this year. The Sheraton has changed its name. And that will be very easy for me to remember the rest of the year. Thank you, DrenCon.org. And thank you, Tim, Jeff, and Dustin. Thank you all for having me today.
All right. Thank you to Dan. We'll be back next week with a regular show, and we'll do all the things that we do. And Steph will be back, and I will really, really tear into her for those also awful fucking Doritos. All right. Until next week, please remember to
keep it canon.
Keep it canon.